If you'd like to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where our message is coming from there today, and we're looking at life in the body of Christ, and it's a wonderful chapter to see how we are to use our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ for ministry and worship. And every believer is a member of Christ's body, and as such, every believer has a definite ministry, no matter what they may believe or think. Now, we're told in chapter 12 how the spiritual gifts are to be used in the local church. And notice in verse 1, it says to us there, I would not have you ignorant. He's saying to us there, there's no excuse for spiritual ignorance because we have the Word of God. And it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God's gift to the Holy Spirit, to the church, is the Holy Spirit. And He is essential and has been given to perform and carry out the Father's purposes in the church and to empower every member to obey Christ as He leads them on mission in this world. So what is life in the body? Well, with Christ as the head, the Holy Spirit is His life within the church. Verse 3 we read, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Again, we are told, I give you to understand. So we've been told in verse 1 not to be ignorant of our place in the body of Christ, our position as God's children. And now we are told here, it's been made known to you. That's how you would say those words. I give you to understand. Now, before being saved, these people had no idea concerning spiritual things, but now they cannot say that. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And verse 18, and this is a crucial verse, it tells us there, But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. How, people tell me? As it has pleased Him. We're not here for our own sakes. We're here because God has put us here because that's pleased Him to do that. That's an important verse. And we can see we're not ignorant. We can see that God makes up His body as it pleases Him. And through the Holy Spirit, every person in the body is enabled to function where God has placed them. Why? That's to help everyone else in the church, every other member. And one of the major parts of God's salvation is the provision of His Holy Spirit working in each one in His body for the good of everyone else. And we're not to be ignorant of this. We're not to be ignorant of the fact the Holy Spirit's been given for the building up of the whole body, not just a few. It's the whole body. Now, verse 7 tells us that the Spirit's given to every believer to produce what's beneficial. You see, the single aim of all activities in the assembly is to profit all of us, the entire assembly. And this is not the work of human ability or human wisdom or human understanding. The manifestation of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, it should be a time of spiritual profit and growth for each and every believer in the church at every meeting. Yes, they're individual gifts, but they're for the profit of the whole body. See, the Godhead is unified, And God has placed Christ as head of the body to accomplish his will. And Christ as head instructs each believer to function in the church, seeking the well-being of each other as the Holy Spirit is at work in each of us. And it's sad because many though are in church to please themselves. That's why they're here, just to please themselves. They have not yet realized it is God who makes up the church and places people where it pleases him. Everybody in the church is needed. Everybody is important. Nobody is a nobody in God's church. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You see, the Holy Spirit's placing the emphasis on God. It was literally God who tempered. That word tempered means to unite together one thing to another. God is, in other words, he's blended the body together. He has put this church together. So what does that mean? Verse 21 and 22. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. See, no pastor, no deacon, no leader of any ministry, no one can say in any way, shape or form, I don't need you. We are told quite pointedly in here in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. What a statement. What a passage of scripture 1 Corinthians 12 is, and the reason people don't understand it, how God has put the body together, how it has pleased him to put people together, how he expects them to love one another and take care of one another, is because the reason they're here to please themselves instead of pleasing God. See, they don't need anybody else. That's what they're saying. If these believers had realized that God is the giver of all good gifts, there would never have been divisions in the church. There wouldn't have been that party spirit you read of in Corinthians. There wouldn't have been the jealousies, the envies that were there. And that's the same for today. We all need one another. The Bible tells us so. We need one another. We should love one another. We should help one another. We should not be critical and complaining about one another. We should not be envious of what we're doing in the body of Christ. We should be thankful we're here, able to help one another. We're all children of the same God. We're all members of the same body. Listen, we are blood relatives because we have been purchased with the same blood and we are covered by the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when God adds to the church, to his body, he has something special in mind for them, and that means the new member is important. God's church is a living, breathing organism, not a religious organization. See, once a church becomes an organization, it starts to adapt the ways of the world, and if you don't like someone, you just chuck them out. Let's just get rid of the pastor, he's too tough. Or let's just get rid of this guy, they're too liberal. It becomes an organization, and what happens is there comes in envies, there comes in jealousies and such like sins, and in comes the work of the flesh, that self-centeredness comes with it. And that should never happen in God's church. because God's church is the living body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we should treat it exactly as such. No excuses. We are here for Him. We are here for each other, not just for ourselves. Now, in Ephesians 5, where it tells us, husbands, love your wives, and it tells us, as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. What a glorious truth is that every member is loved by Christ. Everyone. The word of God being used to bring health and vitality and life. How? As we operate together in the life of Christ's church. And how important then is that to us? Ephesians 5:27, it carries on and tells us the importance, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's why. So He can present a glorious church to Himself. Verse 32 tells us, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. Now, how much we should be honoring Him for the work He's done in this church, for the opportunity He's given us to preach the gospel without fear, to walk in the liberty of grace. That means we don't want to have a license to sin. We want to have a license to honor Him. And rather than how important is that to us, better maybe I should ask the question, why is that important? Because this is what Christ is doing with this church right now. That's why it's important. And here's the real question. Are you and I treating each other the way Christ treats them? Are we? That's the question. Have we already forgotten verse 24, that God hath tempered the body together? He's put it together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You see, life in the church is very precious to God. It is crucial to Christ as head, and it is maintained by the Holy Spirit. See, we have a unified God, and that can't be broken, and He expects His church to be the same. And we are recipients, how do I put it, of this incredible life that can only be found in the local church. You won't find it anywhere else. God has placed us together where it has pleased Him. Now, here's another question. Now, how precious is that to you? Because church life is special. It's the place you find God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. It's a place we find forgiveness that is not found anywhere else but in the local church. That's life in the body. So what is unity in the body? You see, if unless there's unity in the body, how can we reach out and be witnesses and testimonies and touch the world for Christ? You see, unity is essential because God cannot use a church that's not unified. And the reason is because unity allows the church to work together the way God intends it to work together. You see, unity ensures that every member functions exactly where God has placed them. And it's the visible evidence that the members are following Christ as head. And only the Holy Spirit working each believer can bring that unity that God desires and, listen, He requires. Ephesians 4 tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, have you been captivated by Christ? Are you surrendered to the plan and purpose of God that He has for His church? Or are you a lone ranger doing your own thing? And I say this in love. You have no excuse not to. You know why? Because we're just told He's given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we, as part of His church, are to walk with lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You see, everybody is important as we, as His body, strive together to keep the unity with the Holy Spirit. And this isn't man's words or man's wisdom. This is God's provision for every born-again believer. And the reason is because it causes an active, an energetic, an interaction for the good of the whole body. And if every member walked in unity with the Holy Spirit, then they would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which will always destroy a church. You see, the church belongs to God, and He commands that every believer in His body walk worthy of His calling, not our own. Not our own. And for us to achieve that, then each of us must be filled, led, and be walking with the Spirit just as the Lord Himself was, and be unified. Now, when a believer causes dissension and division, when they harbor a divisive, critical spirit, you can be sure that they are not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to help each other so that Christ is honored in our midst. Now, what are we to do with those who cause trouble? Well, Romans 16:17 tells you, now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That's what he says. Oh, that's too tough. We love everybody. No. God's church must be kept pure and clean and upright before Him. Now, why does God tell us to do that? Because verse 18 of Romans 16 tells us, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own body, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, we do it to protect and keep the unity in the body. Now, I've been pastoring a long time, and in all that time, I've only ever had to ask two people not to attend church. In all that time, because they were divisive, they were critical, and they were causing problems, and they were people who had a real lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:17 reminds us, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, when our bodies break down, the whole body feels it. It feels the pain, it feels the discomfort. The body can't function at 100% like it should. You break a leg and you're not working right. And the rest of our body has to wait until that part is healed to be able to operate whole again. Now, when one in the church people experience a great loss, there could be the death of a loved one, there could be a crisis in their life, the whole body should be affected. And if the church is walking worthy of God, if the church is healthy, others come alongside, they share their faith, they reach out with their comfort, they strengthen their friends, their fellow brothers and sisters, they use their finances until the one hurting has come through the hurt. And it not only shows unity, that shows strength. And when church members are actively there for each other, the presence and the power of the Lord is experienced. And we understand what we learned on Wednesday night, that there is joy found in the midst of trials. I didn't say happiness, I said joy in the midst of trials. That's the result. Now listen, this has to be taught. Members must be taught how important the church is to God and our place in it. There should be a strong, relentless teaching of what a church is and what God can do through a church surrendered to Him, because it's crucial to the unity of the church. Now, those in church for themselves don't care much or enjoy this type of preaching, because they don't understand the importance of life in the body, and that God has put them there because it's pleased Him to put them there, that He has tempered them together with other believers for His glory, His honor, and our health and benefit. And it needs to be taught. And it needs to be obeyed and lived out. Thirdly, this shows power in the body. Now, there's a very old story, and it teaches a great truth. I've used it a few times. I haven't used it for a while. But there was a captain who was very valiant in battle. He was such a dominant warrior that the sword he wielded got a great name. People feared his sword. And word of the sword became legendary amongst all the people. And soon the king himself had heard of this infamous sword, and he brought in a messenger, and he said to the messenger, "I want you to go and find that sword and bring it back to me. I need to see this thing." And when the messenger returned with the sword, he presented it to the king, and the king, he almost sat back down in the chair. He didn't understand any of the stories he heard. And he said, "Why are the people so afraid of this sword? It's just a common, ordinary sword. There's no fancy designs or jewels. It's just an ordinary sword." And the messenger replied, "King, if I bought you the sword, that's all you asked me to do. But if I bought you the hand that wields this sword, you would understand the fear the people have." Now, do you and I understand that the hand of God through the Holy Spirit wields a Christian's life? Do we really understand that? There may be not too much extraordinary about us in the eyes of others, but when a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, God can bring down any stronghold that is preventing them from surrendering completely to Him. And when a church is led and filled with the Holy Spirit, God can turn anything upside down. How? Because the key is not our ability. We need to get that. It is the power of the Spirit working in and through us who is always about accomplishing the will of the Father. And it has pleased God to do that through the local church. You know, you could share everything you know about Christ. You can call on all your natural abilities and knowledge and still not get through to someone about Christ and salvation. And the reason is because none of what we can do in our own ability can take the place of the Holy Spirit truly working in and through our lives. See, the power in God's church is the full presence of God actively at work, accomplishing His own will. And He gives the Spirit to accomplish His church, His purpose in our life and in His church. Now, in the Old Testament, God sent the Holy Spirit to enable His servants to do His calling in their lives. He worked through them. But today, God has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh, Acts 2:17, upon all believers, not just special ones. The Holy Spirit resides permanently within every believer to perform everything that the Lord wants to do. Not what we want to do, but what the Lord wants to do. And until we get a hold of the fact God has put this church together, we'll be walking outside of His will if we're just wanting to do it for our own selves. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." See, it's clear here that God is the power working in us. And people are searching for the truth. People are wanting to know what life is all about. They are wanting to know our God. But it's not by our word, but God's power demonstrated at work through us that they see what we know. There is a clear and precise biblical principle in God's word for what I just said. 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, your church may have all the trimmings. They may look like a healthy body, but without the work of the Spirit, there's no power. So how do we become a functioning body? Well, each one is joined to the Spirit. Each one is joined to Christ. Each member is joined to the other members. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers a church to operate as a living body of Christ. And that's where, see, He is the one who brings a heart care for each other. He's the one who gives the ability to work together for God's purpose. And sadly again, and it's very sad, many just remain islands unto themselves, not realizing that we are joined together, we are to work together where God has placed us, joined us together to accomplish His will in this world. Makes us think, how could we be so selfish as not to live out life in the body as God asks us to? Because that's what it comes down to, is self-centeredness and selfishness. 1 Corinthians 3:7 tells us, so then neither is he that planteth anything. I love that little phrase. It's not anything. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Why? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You see, God's desire, his plan, his purpose is to work through the whole body where he has placed and molded them together, with the Holy Spirit working in and through and enabling each other to reach out and be witnesses and testimonies of what a saved person filled with the Spirit of God really is as a witness to this world. And God's purpose is that each believer, through the indwelling of his Spirit, helps every other believer in the body to grow into Christ-likeness. See, every member in God's church has a vital role to play in God's plan. And that means every one of us must be treated as worthy of attention. Now, back in our text, 1 Corinthians 12:4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So all. In verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. There's a couple of things very quickly I want to look at to finish this off. Verse 18 again. Let's read this together. Verse 18, we all there? We'll read verses 18 and 19 together. Thus saith the Lord, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? What we see here is God's perfect, flawless plan. He knows the limitations. He set the members in the local church where it's pleased him to do so. Now, if God be pleased to have us in the position we are in, then shouldn't we be pleased to be there? Because if we are, what we are doing is not being done to the glory of God and in the name of Christ, then we'd be much better off doing nothing at all. And if we would let the Lord, through his Spirit, direct us to do whatever he has for us to do, we would be the most blessed people of all. And God help us not to be jealous and envious of what anyone else is doing and how the Lord is using them in his service. We're all members of the same body, and we should all be rejoicing at God's work through each other. I think Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, without every, and I'm talking every member, no matter their place in the church, the body is not going to be complete. Now, can you and I see how important God says it is to be involved in the life of the church, investing our lives in each other? It's undeniable. absolutely undeniable. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to help serve the Lord as we serve each other and keep the body healthy. There's a few things. Members should have the opportunity to be consulted on all major issues and decisions. Members are to be included in the work of the church from where God has placed them. Don't play dodgeball. Just get busy where God's put you. You may say, well, I'm too old for the physical side of things, and maybe you could be. But if physically you can't help, I can tell you something you can do, and that is you can pray for the whole church. It's people, it's ministries for God's glory. And all that God has said today through His Spirit to our hearts won't just happen. It has to be done intentionally as the church is obedient to what God has told us through His Word. Now, just a couple of quick questions. How important is it for everyone in the church to be filled with the Spirit? What evidence is there of our church experiencing the necessary power of the Spirit? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life to build up and impact the lost through His church? Have you relied more on your own abilities than you have the Holy Spirit to work through? Are you playing your part in the body of Christ where God has placed you in His church? And listen carefully, and this is important, because this is God's plan, not mine. Not any other person's plan. This is God's plan. It is God's purpose for each one of His children to fulfill His mission in this world in the life of His body. What are we going to do about it? Praise God for the church He's put together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. We thank You, Lord, for that wonderful, wonderful chapter that leaves us without excuse, but it encourages us, Lord, to know that, Father, some of us may struggle with our families, but what a blessing to know we have a family here for us, a family You have put together, and may we treasure that and honor that. We praise You, Lord, and thank You for the wonderful life and the body that You have provided for us. Let us not miss out on the abundant life that awaits us. We thank You, Lord, and praise You for all that You have done. And may we always, always put the glory back on You. And these things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.